2011 BBC Proms. The world's greatest classical music festival returns from Friday the 15th of July to Saturday the 10th of September. For full details of the season, go online to bbc.co.uk/proms or consult the BBC Proms Guide, available now.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us in high definition live online. 11:30 is the time, and now jazz lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, we've a concert set from Birmingham-based multi-instrumentalist Percy Purseglove, known as the Glove to his friends, and his organ trio. Pianist Tim Richards speaks with us about touring with his trio on the release of his new album, Shapeshifting. Also, we've quite a fusion feast with bassist Kyle Eastwood's new CD, Tommy Smith's stylistic detour, and the legendary Yellow Jackets, who celebrate 30 years as a band. First up, a double CD featuring the trio from Return to Forever and the Griffith Park Collection. For those of you in the know, that's Chick Corea, Stanley Clark, and Lenny White on piano, bass, and drums. CD 1 deals with Chick and the Men's more straight-ahead work, whereas CD 2 leans toward fusion. From CD 2, this is the Latin-inspired Captain Marvel. Thank you. Good to hear Chick Corea, Stanley Clarke and Lenny White on fine form with their tribute to superhero Captain Marvel. The new recording is entitled Forever and is a two CD set where CD 2 features special guests Bill Connors on guitar, Jean-Luc Ponty on the violin and the irrepressible Chaka Khan on vocals. It's a comprehensive listen to masters playing music in which they are innovators and is out now on the Concord label. The link to our next CD is twofold in that Scots tenor man Tommy Smith has worked with Chick Corea and, having played in every conceivable format, now turns his attention to a more fusion sound with the addition of electric bass to the mix. Kevin Glasgow takes those bass duties and joins Tommy on soprano, Steve Hamilton on keyboards and Alan Kosker on drums. This is a piece with a strong folk and traditional melody, Land of Heroes. The Soprano Call of Tommy Smith and Land of Heroes from his new album Karma, out now on his own Spartacus label. Steve Hamilton played the piano, with Kevin Glasgow on electric bass and Alan Koska on drums. So, to the big band sound with American vocalist Patti Austin, who, although a pop and R&B star in the 1980s and 90s, was a child prodigy singing at the Apollo Theatre in Harlem amongst many jazz heavyweights. If you've ever heard Moody's Mood for Love, Patti Austin sang the duet on the George Benson version. She's coming to Birmingham Town Hall on May the 13th to perform material from her latest CD, Avant Gershwin, with the illustrious BBC Big Band. Here she is on the Gershwin Classic with jazz credentials in full flight on Funny Face. The charming and swinging Miss Patti Austin and Funny Face from her album Avant Gershwin. And if you like what you hear, Patti and the BBC Big Band will grace the stage at the Birmingham Town Hall on the 13th of May. Now we turn to Jazz Lineup's concert set, which keeps us in Birmingham, but this time at their Symphony Hall. The concert was given as part of the Birmingham Culture Weekend last autumn and features local multi-instrumentalist and arranger Percy Purseglove and his quartet, who are no strangers to the Rush Hour Jazz series in Birmingham. Percy takes the trumpet duties, Chris Montague of Troika is on guitar, the organ is played by Ross Stanley and the drummer is Andrew Bain. They make up the quartet and were recorded by Jazz Lineup at Birmingham Symphony Hall as part of their Rush Hour series. To get the concert started, Percy and the quartet struck up a heavily rhythmic motif as the underpinning to a slightly groove-oriented arrangement of the Rodgers and Hart classic Where or When. Thank you. This is Jazz Lineup's concert set from the Percy Purslove Quartet, recorded live at the Birmingham Symphony Hall.
We got there. Whoa. Thanks very much. Okay, another one of my favourite tunes next. This is Dizzy Gillespie's Con Alma. Thank you. Thanks very much. So, we've come to the end of our set. So thanks ever so much for coming and hearing us play one more time. Please make them feel very welcome. Chris Montague at the guitar. Andrew Bain at the drums. Ross Stanley at the organ. We're going to leave you with a fiendish arrangement of a Charlie Chaplin tune called Smile.
Thank you.
A twist on the Chaplin tune Smile, played by Percy Purseglove on trumpet, Andrew Bain on drums, Ross Stanley on organ, and Chris Montague on the guitar. That set was recorded at Symphony Hall, Birmingham, last September as part of the Rush Hour series that takes place every Friday at 5:30 p.m. You're listening to me, Julian Joseph, and this is Jazz Lineup, online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. And this program can be heard for the next 7 days by going to the BBC Radio 3 website and selecting Jazz Lineup. Now, jazz education is an ever-growing sector in the jazz business that some might say is getting bigger than the music itself. But one thing that is true is that it feeds into the music and audiences of the future. It's a very important aspect of the music, and right at the forefront for many years are the youth big bands. Ian Darrington has run the Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra for many years, and it's a band through which several players have passed through before entering the jazz scene. Not only do some of these bands gig, but they're also recording, and Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra have just released an album called Goes Green, and this is their version of the Lester Young piece Tickletoe. Tickletoe from the multi-award winning Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra under the direction of Ian Darrington, and demonstrating that this music can be enjoyed and recorded at all levels. And if you're interested in inspiring your kids and giving them something to aim for in the early stages of their jazz development, this album is called Goes Green and is available from Gateway Records. Now, pianist Tim Richards has been a mainstay on the British jazz scene for the last 30 years, forming the first incarnation of his long-running band Spirit Level in 1979. In 2005, we featured his nine-piece band Great Spirit, and he's also written several informative tutorials on blues, jazz, and Latin piano playing. He's currently touring across the UK to promote his latest album, Shapeshifting. It's a trio recording featuring some choice compositions from the jazz canon as well as four original compositions. Before we speak to Tim, let's hear from Shapeshifting, and this is Seraglio.
Thank you.
Seraglio from Tim Richards, and that was from his new album on 33 Records called Shapeshifting. And I'm pleased to say Tim Richards joins me now. Welcome, Tim.
Hello, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, you've just recently been touring, and the last date that's left on the tour is at the Key Arts Centre in the Isle of Wight. How's it been going?
Actually, it's been going really well. We've been up and down the country, 12 or 13 gigs, and as you say, the last one is on the Isle of Wight. We've also got an extra date at London's famous 606 Club on Tuesday the 5th of July, which is good, and the audience reaction has been very strong, I have to say. I'm very pleased about that. It's always nice to do lots of gigs in a trot, on the trot.
So, Shapeshifting, this is your third CD on 33 Records, and you've got Dominic Howells on the bass and Jeff Lardner on drums. Now, what's special to you about working with these two guys?
Well, first of all, it's the third trio CD. I have actually had several others out on 33 with Great Spirit, two with Great Spirit, so you could say it's maybe the sixth CD with this label, which is a label that really supports British jazz, I think. To get back to the trio, Jeff Lardner, who is also working with Van Morrison at the moment, I think he brings something very special to the... He's a new member, if you like. He brings something very special to the lineup. He's a very dynamic drummer, fantastic technician. And also I feel that we've developed a lot of interplay from working together. And Dominic Howells, the bass player, has been with the trio for some time now. He also appeared on our previous album, 12x3, so he's somebody that I've developed a very good rapport with as well. I think there's something special about trios. I do love piano trios. There's a special chemistry that exists once you get the balance between the bass and the drums and the piano. That's when the magic can really start to happen. And just adding one other instrument, for instance, a saxophone, although I love playing with saxophone players, I mean, I had four of them in my band at one point in Great Spirit, just adding a saxophone sometimes can upset that chemistry, and that's why I often resist when promoters say, well, we'd like to book the trio, but couldn't you bring a saxophone player? That completely changes the whole dynamic, the whole chemistry.
Well, it's obvious that you like the trio, especially the trio of Bud Powell, because you take on that piece on Poco Loco.
Yes.
And it's great to hear that. It's incredibly modern, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. And there's a really fiendishly difficult cowbell pattern, which has been a challenge for any drummer, I think. Max Roach played it on the original, and I think Jeff does a great job of nailing that really difficult and intriguing pattern, which is quite up front in the mix.
I mean, that's the thing about the trio. It can be as loose as you like, but there are very specific things that go on there, and each musician has to really be able to take on that role and bring something to the table.
Yeah, and I think also I like to think of the piano and in the context of a trio as almost like an orchestra. You know, you can really arrange and orchestrate things in a piano trio, which might get lost in a larger lineup.
The piece Seraglio, what's that about? It's quite an epic piece, and you allude to it being fully notated, or certainly inspiration came from things that you had fully notated.
Well, a little while ago I studied composition at Trinity College of Music. I did a master's degree, and that was one of the piano pieces that I wrote while I was there. And I wanted something that reflected perhaps some more non-jazz element of my work, and so that's perhaps you've chosen the tune on the album, which is perhaps least typical in a way of the trio and has echoes of contemporary classical music and perhaps even world music. The version that we've recorded on this trio is a little bit different from the fully notated version, because after all this is a jazz album, so we have an open section for improvisation in the middle and Dominic does a really nice bass solo up high up on the neck, which is very effective, I think.
How do you keep these ideas separate then, if you think it's more suited to contemporary classical and that kind of influence?
I don't think it's really necessary to keep them separate.
No, I was just wondering why you said it's the least typical of the trio, so it seems to be a new element that you're bringing into the trio.
Well, I suppose many of the other tunes in the trio are perhaps more groove-based, and there's quite a strong blues influence as well, and also quite a strong swing aspect, whereas this is perhaps a little bit more introspective, and it's also less to do with playing around a chord sequence, which so much jazz is based on, and you could say I'm trying to get away from that.
Okay. I mean, those are sort of the intellectual challenges of jazz, but it seems with this particular piece, I was sort of picking up that you were going quite a bit deeper.
And yes, also it's got several sections, hasn't it? As you say, it's a little bit of an epic, which in terms of the form and the arrangement, it's a little bit more complex than just playing head, solo, head and out.
Which is doesn't really sum up jazz, though, does it?
Can do, unfortunately. Sometimes I feel that jazz can get very formulaic. But I think any kind of music can get formulaic, and I like to think that basically there's just good music and bad music. I hate being pigeonholed or put in a box. I really like to keep my options open. I think possibly one of the strong points of the trio is the variety of the material that we try and play in just one gig. So there should be really something for everyone.
In Bolivia, the trio really seems to come alive on that track.
You like that one?
Yeah.
It's a great tune, isn't it? Cedar Walton.
It's beautiful. Tim Richards and Bolivia from his new CD, Shapeshifting, with Dominic Howes on the bass and Jeff Lardner on drums. And I'm pleased to say Tim Richards joins me. Your approach to the ballad?
Well, there are two ballads, both Ellington tunes, on this record, Prelude to a Kiss and Come Sunday. And I didn't want them to get too flowery, because I think the chords in those tunes are so beautiful as they are, that just playing the melody is very satisfying. And I feel that jazz musicians are in too much of a hurry to get rid of the melody and start, you know, showing up how fast they can play, and that's not really what ballads are about in my book. I prefer to think of them as a relaxed and warm sound and beautiful harmonies, a fantastic melody. And in fact, on Come Sunday, I hardly do any improvising at all. I just think it's such a strong tune that once you've played the melody, what more can you say?
Your writing and your of tutorials is something that is a very major part of your creative output. What is so important about writing books about jazz and Latin music and blues?
Well, I started with the blues book, and then I wrote the two jazz books, Exploring Jazz Piano. And then the Latin book is a collaboration with John Crawford, a fantastic Latin player. So that was interesting to collaborate with another piano player on the latest book. But I still remember when I was a teenager beginning to get to grips with jazz and starting to get interested in Thelonious Monk and other people. I really was totally in the dark. I still remember what that feels like. Not to know any other jazz musicians. At that time, there were hardly any books around. You couldn't go and study jazz at college. I basically had to find everything out for myself, and I still remember how that feels. So I think that's one of the things that motivates me to write books, is I had to make the effort to sort out all this material and get the information. And I think that's put me in a good position to present it to other people who may be in the same position.
I'm quite interested in the desire to go back to studying and get your master's in composition. The urge. Tell me, what's that to do with?
I suppose I felt that for so long I'd been writing books and teaching people and running evening classes at Morley College and Goldsmiths and other places, that there was a danger that those activities overtook, or that the balance wasn't quite right, and I wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to think that it was still possible for me to study, for me to learn things, and not just for me to be helping other people get where they wanted to be. That was one part of it. And the other thing was a growing interest in composition, which I suppose I've always written for my bands, but only really with the nine-piece Great Spirit did I start to grapple with larger forms and a wider variety of instruments. So the study that I did at Trinity was very much to do with writing for other instruments, non-jazz instruments, and things like symphony orchestra, string quartet. I even wrote a recorder quintet. So it was a fascinating period for me. It was like a career break for a couple of years. I basically did very little performing and focused completely on writing and getting things played. I loved it.
And do you think that's something you're going to take further? Is it informing your jazz? Is it? What's its purpose now?
I would like to get some more commissions. I've actually got a commission at the moment to write a piece for toy pianos for the pianist Kate Ryder, which sounds like an interesting project.
She's a contemporary classical pianist, isn't she, from Australia?
That's right, yes. And she's got an amazing collection of vintage toy pianos, so hopefully in the near future we'll be hearing a piece that I've written for them.
Well, the piece that we're going to go out on is called The Message. It's a very confident blues gospel-tinged composition. Tell us a bit more about The Message.
You could liken it to some of those Horace Silver tunes. So along with Bud Powell and Hampton Hawes and Wynton Kelly, Horace Silver is definitely one of my favourites. And I think it also has a strong New Orleans influence, especially the way the rhythm section, the groove that they lay down for the solos.
Well, it's great to hear that, Tim, and thank you so much for coming to speak to us.
Thank you very much, Julian.
And best of luck with the last date on your tour at the Key Arts Centre in the Isle of Wight on Friday the 13th of May. And from the Shapeshifting album, this is The Message. Tim Richards, and The Message from his new CD, Shapeshifting, with Dominic Howes on the bass and Jeff Lardner on drums. And that's out now on the 33 Records label. And don't forget, if you're on the Isle of Wight, you can catch the trio at the Key Arts Centre on the 13th of May. Also, in July, they're playing at the 606, so look out for them. Taking us gently into the space between acoustic jazz and the fusion zone is bassist Kyle Eastwood, who leads a strong cast of players for his latest recording, Songs from the Chateau. We feature a gentle piece with dynamics and a simple melody. Andrew McCormack gives us the piano solo and Graham Blevins the soprano. This is Soul Captain. Soul Captain from bassist Carl Eastwood, and Andrew McCormack was on piano and Graham Blevins on soprano. Graham Flowers was on flugelhorn, Martin Kane on the drums. The album is called Songs from the Chateau and is an impressive collection from the bassist and out now on the Candid label. We started with fusion pioneer Chick Corea and the Gang, and now we finish up with a band that celebrates 30 years of making music in this genre. They are the Yellow Jackets. Bassist Jimmy Haslip and keyboardist Russell Ferranti are the founder members that still keep the spirit of the Jackets flowing. Will Kennedy on drums and their most recent member, Bob Mintzer, are by no means newbies and have helped allow the band to remain fresh after all these years, with Mintzer in particular contributing a high percentage of their compositional output. Their new album is called Timeline, and in the liner notes charts the band's history from 4 years before their debut album in 1981 to the present day. This is why it is. That's the name of the tune. It's not a comment from me.
Thank you.
the Yellow Jackets. And why it is? Well, it's 30 years. Congratulations to Russell, Jimmy, Will and Bob, and long may the good music continue. The album is called Timeline and features a guest appearance from superstar guitarist, pre-member and catalyst Robin Ford. And this release also marks their debut on the Mac Avenue label, who are thriving right now with an artist roster that includes recent signings Danilo Perez, Kevin Eubanks and Kenny Garrett. That's it for this week. Join Claire Martin next week for highlights taken from a piano and voice concert given at the Pizza Express in Soho last month in aid of the Brainstorm charity, featuring Leanne Carroll, Jackie Dankworth and Sarah Coleman. And there's an interview with British band Outhouse. Jazz on 3 on Monday night, and Jez Nelson presents the first UK performance of veteran German sax player Peter Brotzmann's Chicago Tentet. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
John Shea. Welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3, where the first 2 hours this morning belonged to Beethoven. Beethoven Night at the Proms was a tradition begun by Sir Henry Wood, and the 2010 season featured two of them. The Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie Bremen came to London with their chief conductor Paavo Järvi thoroughly steeped in Beethoven, after playing all 9 symphonies at the Salzburg Festival the previous summer and making a much-praised documentary about the project. Hilary Hahn joined them for the violin concerto, which you can hear in about 25 minutes, after the Symphony No. 1 in C. And thoroughly steeped in Beethoven certainly doesn't mean any lack of dynamism or incisiveness, as you'll soon hear. Beethoven's Symphony No. 1 in C, as played at the BBC Proms in 2010 by the Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie with their chief conductor Paavo Järvi. Hilary Hahn joined them next as the soloist in the Beethoven Violin Concerto. They've been playing together regularly since Hilary stepped in for an indisposed colleague in 2006, and the concerto's premiere in 1806 was also a last-minute affair. Beethoven's soloist was sight-reading, as the music had been completed so late, so the calm of the opening movement must have been an extra test of his nerves.